The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Rangers AGM Day at home and another dramatic day in Qatar. Ibrox chairman Douglas Parks suggests they might not be able to meet the contract demands of Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent. Ross Wilson faced some criticism from shareholders, but Stuart Robertson says the progress has been outstanding. And at the World Cup, Morocco shocked Spain on penalties to progress to the quarter final. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
An AGM's always a big day, Gordon, especially when you're 9 points ahead and behind and you've got a new manager just through the door. So a lot of questions for Michael Beale to answer, Ross Wilson, Douglas Parks, Stuart Robertson, and a lot of pertinent questions at that. I'm sure the Rangers fans will pick the bones at that as we go through this evening's action.
Yeah, and I think one of the most important questions was answered by the chairman, who's come under a little bit of pressure from a certain support of the club when he was asked about Morelos and Kent, obviously saying that they're trying their very best, but there's a stumbling block there with financial-wise, Gordon, and we all accept that. Some players maybe want a little bit more. Some clubs decide that they can't go that far. Forget the World Cup as well. We've got 9 sleeps till the real football starts back, and I hope it comes very soon.
It's getting closer, and I was going to say, Mark Wilson, when we do get round to our World Cup section, because it's been a very dramatic day, obviously it will just be you and I, because Gordon DL's already stated many times that he hates the World Cup for whatever reason, and won't talk about it, so we'll have to leave him out. But correct me if I'm wrong, I saw what looked like excitement on his face when Morocco panenka'd their winning penalty to knock Spain out of the competition but 10 minutes ago.
It was the only flicker of life we've seen behind those eyes throughout this
years.
Full World Cup process, I was going to say, but more to the point, 15 years. I mean, it really has livened up this World Cup. It was a slow start, but seeing some of the underdogs now going through, Morocco there with the penalties, got to say, the standard of penalty kicks we've seen in the tournament has been so horrendous. Morocco through, Spain out, on to Portugal, Switzerland.
Yeah, would you chip in on that? Terrible.
I don't know.
I'm sitting in there having a chat with you guys, and you're obviously glued to the TV. I've got a great way of summing this World Cup. Quite simple for me. A new way of going about it. Forget it. Toss a coin. Penalty kicks, that end or that end. Get it done. Off the park in 10 minutes.
Sounds great. Brilliant. Thanks for your input. 01419511025. Though that's the number you need on the phone, so come on down. Rangers fans, were you at the AGM today? If so, what did you make of it? Even if you weren't, you'll have followed the points being raised. So what did you make of the questions that were asked, the answers that were given? Was there anything you thought should have been brought up that wasn't? And in terms of the sort of headlines, if you like, what about that from Douglas Park suggesting that the demands of Morelos and Kent are too high? Would you be pushing the boat out to keep both of them, one of them, none of them? What do you think? And anything else you took away from today's AGM, please do pick up the phone. Anything else that's out there, come on, you decide. This is the beauty of this World Cup break. We decided to stay on. We couldn't possibly tear ourselves away from you for 5 weeks, so it's a bit more of a blank canvas. Why not pick up the phone and let the guys know what's on your mind? 01419511025. And don't forget, just like last night, every caller who makes it on air tonight goes into the draw to win a pair of tickets for a tribute night to the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row. Wim Janssen's team is at the Armadillo in May next year. Many special guests from that team, from that era. And to win the tickets, all you need to do is get on air, make a point to the guys, and we'll draw everyone out of the hat at the end of the night and produce one winner. You can get the tickets online as well, but it seems like much more fun to come on and do it this way. Mark Wilson, I'm sure you would love to win them, but you cannot.
It's a great prize. I remember the day well. It was fantastic. I was only a supporter back then.
I was going to say, only one half of the city thinks it was fantastic, obviously. But that's the beauty of this show, is you can, even if you're not a Celtic fan, you'll know someone who is, and think how popular you'll be this Christmas if you can supply the tickets. So
fancy going,
Daz?
Yeah, I would love to get a couple of tickets.
01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get in touch with the guys and let them know what's on your mind. Let's go to John, who's a Celtic fan in the East End. What have you got for us tonight, John?
Hi, Gordon and Mark. How are you doing, guys?
Good, John. Good, thanks.
Hi, good. Merry Christmas when it comes around.
Oh, it's the first one, John.
Yeah.
You're the first one.
Oh, relax, John.
And Happy New Year. All the best.
When it comes.
I like
it. 6th of December, man.
Do you know, it's almost like John... It's like I've paid you to come on, John, right? Because I've got this very, very childish outlook on these things. And I'm going to admit it, because we are all pals here. My birthday was yesterday, right? None of you wished me happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Gordon.
And my rule is that I only will consider Christmas once my birthday's
passed. After your birthday.
Even though I'm 33 enough. And it really doesn't matter anymore. The Christmas songs, the Christmas films, see, for me, they start today.
The tree and everything.
So I'm glad that John's acknowledged that by complete accident. Mm-hmm. Anyway, John, none of that is important. So what about your football point for the guys tonight?
Basically what it is the company I work for an American company, and we get access to all sorts of different levels of internet beyond what we get here, right? And
right.
I was kind of reading online that this guy, Mohammed Magadi, I think that's how you pronounce it, is at advanced talks about coming to Celtic. And I was just really trying to get the guys' sort of...
thoughts on that?
Feelings on it.
Well, first of all, we'll need to bring Gordon Dale back. You lost him at different levels of internet. He just wants to know what exactly you're on about and if he can get involved.
You thought you were getting a deal there, didn't you? You were ready to drop your current supplier.
I was giving you a username and password.
What can you get from me, mate? On a serious note, Mark Wilson, I don't know if that's one you're aware of.
Obviously, Egyptian?
Yeah, Alistair Johnson's in the building. Yuki Kobayashi, Mohammed Magdi is an Egyptian player. Rumoured to be... on Celtic's radar, a creative midfielder.
Yeah.
You know, decent goal scoring record for his club. I think they won the 2020 African Champions League. It appears that Celtic are considering that. I don't know how much is in it right at this stage. What would your thoughts be initially?
Well, when I look at the position he plays, probably the same as everybody else. You think, well, where does he fit in? But I could have said that about Haksabanovic when he came, that Celtic didn't need a player in that position. Look, it might just fit into the trading model that Ange Postecoglou warned everybody about, you know, last month, that if you hear Celtic link with players and they get close to signing players where they think they're oversubscribed, perhaps one of the players that are currently occupying those positions might be quick to go out the door. Again, if there is any truth in this, it shows that Ange Postecoglou is not one to sit still. Always trying to bolster that squad and push people, so I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
I suppose, Gordon, the only a different way of looking at this would be Celtic's midfield strong. It doesn't look like there's any glaring holes in it. Yes, Aaron Moy came in, but did they replace Tom Rogic? You know, just in terms of a like for like or a direct, did they?
No, I don't.
Is that a space there?
Yeah, look, I agree with Mark. You think that when Postecoglou goes into transfer market, you think, well, why is he bringing in another winger? Why is he doing this and doing that? There's always a method to his madness in that sense. He's building a real strong squad for me. They're not stopping. They're moving. They're on the front foot all the time. They're not resting their laurels. They're 9 points ahead. Their transfer business is getting done quickly, which I think's a good thing because it settles everything down. But the interesting bit will be if he's bringing these players in, who are maybe one or two leaving the building. It'll be interesting for the Celtic fans to know that.
Well, what do you think, John? Is that an area of the pitch you would look at? I know there's been some other names doing the rounds as well, hasn't there?
Yeah, and I think, obviously we've heard, of all the guys, it looks like Juranovic is potentially maybe played his last game for Celtic. So they're making inroads, obviously, for filling that position with Arthur Johnson and still having Ralston there. But we've also heard the reports of potentially Matt O'Reilly as well, and this guy kind of... This is a point I was going to give to you guys, is the difference between Celtic recently and Rangers, for that matter. It used to always be the case, and Mark will probably know this better than anybody, Celtic were always a team who done all their business right at the last minute, and they would try and get that marquee signing in. And Rangers would have it all done and dusted and ready to go. Now it's just totally, just like swapped. Celtic are now doing everything early, early doors, getting everything done and ready to go. I'm not saying Rangers are going to go for the marquee signing, but they're not signing anybody yet, and we don't know what's happening with them as far as obviously the transfer market.
I
was just really to see the
guy's
point on that as well.
I mean, I guess, Mark, in terms of this window direct comparison, Rangers are just in a different place. Michael Beale needs to assess what he's got first before having a look at what comes next. But generally speaking, I could see you sort of nodding at parts of John's point.
Well, certainly at the bit he was mentioning about Celtic, I mean, it was always well known that Celtic did leave it to the last minute, and I think they suffered sometimes throughout that. I think they missed out on some targets. Probably didn't give themselves enough time to get deals over the line. Maybe relied on the size of the club to try and tempt people with that rather than the package that they were actually offering. And, you know, as I say, I think they missed out on some real gems probably over the years. But there's been a shift soon as Ange Postecoglou has come in. He's obviously come in and said, look, this is the way I do things. You need to back me for me to get this right. Celtic board have says, okay, how do you want to go about this? Get our business done early before the windows are drawn to a close so I can concentrate on my squad. And up until this point, it's been hugely successful. And I can't see why it would ever change, because I always think getting players in early and having a settled squad is much better than having any uncertainty near the end of the window.
Of course, there was the South Korean striker Cho as well.
He looks good.
You wouldn't know. You don't watch the World Cup, no. Of course.
He looks good.
Again, does that? If it's almost putting these pieces together, isn't it, and trying to project what might happen. So everyone assumes Alistair Johnson. Well, he is here, but they assume then that means Juranovic goes. Mm-hmm. If there is an issue, if there is a question mark about Giakoumakis, is that where Cho comes in, or would he be one that's added anyway?
I think you could always do with three out and out strikers, but would it be a bit top heavy in terms of competition? Postecoglou try to find a way to get Kyogo and Giakoumakis, and then if you had to add Cho, then I would think if he was in the country or things had to progress with him, it would open the door for Giakoumakis to go out.
I mean, it's not at that stage yet, is it?
I think there's a certainty that they're going to unload. As much as he's just getting quality after quality, he's got a big squad there. I think he's got the man management skills. In fact, we know that he has, to keep everybody happy. But somewhere along the line, as much as the board is saying, yep, as Mark said, you need to come the way of my thinking, I think they're doing that with the manager, they're backing the manager. But the manager's been in the game long enough to say, right, okay, as much as I'm getting everything I want, I need to be fair enough to unload some money out of the club as well and bring in some transfer money.
Thank you, John. John goes into the hat for those tickets. 01419511025. Kevin's a Celtic fan also on the line. What's on your mind tonight, Kevin?
Yes. Hi, panel.
Hello.
Just about the four guys on Celtic Sport. Just the four guys that went to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you've got Juranovic is in the quarters. They've done well. So they have. And it's a credit to Scottish football as well. Us Hearts players, St Mirren. Yeah, it's just It's a credit to Scottish football, but they're better players that's playing in the World Cup.
Yeah, Mark, can that be a boost for, well, Celtic in particular, having Juranovic, Rangers have got Barisic, obviously Maeda scored, became, and don't know if this will be on the teaser anytime soon, but, you know, not many people recently have scored in the knockout stages of the World Cup whilst being at a Scottish club. Can there be knock-on positives, or is that just a bit of a cliche?
No, I think there's got to be. I mean, this is the biggest footballing event in the world, and once you get to the knockout stages and we've got players in there representing our league, remember when the teams are put up in everybody's TV around the world, you know, quite often they'll be who they play for. if that's bringing the limelight to our part of the world, it's only got to be a good thing. The Australia team last Saturday, when we left the show in Bacchus in the middle of the pitch, was, well, I text you, didn't I? I went a wee bit too early.
So did that. I was doing the same though. He was
Suter,
you will know, you don't watch it, but he was doing an unbelievable job on Messi for half an hour. He nipped the ball off him about four times in the space of 5 minutes. And then obviously the magician took over.
But he was doing tremendous up to that. And he was mentioned a good couple of times in TV. If that is bringing, as I say, the spotlight to us, then it can only be good at the latter stages of the biggest football tournament there is.
And again, I know you don't watch it, so I'll make it more general for you, Gordon. On one hand, we've got callers saying they think maybe Juranovic is gone anyway. Does this help a sort of last minute push then to drive his price up, or, you know, is that the way it can work?
Yeah, no doubt. Especially the further they're going in the tournament, Gordon. I think there'll be a lot of people obviously interested in Juranovic. He's a quality player, let's be honest about it. And Mark and the caller Kevin's right. You know, these guys out there, you know, Barisic on the left hand side, Juranovic in the right, it doesn't get talked about. Celtic and Rangers are promoting Scottish football, which is brilliant. But I certainly think if Juranovic, for his own personal keeping himself in and his country in the World Cup, going as far as he possibly can, of course it gets your stock up a bit.
Do you think you've seen him for the last time in a Celtic jersey, Kevin, or is everyone getting a bit carried away?
I'm in two minds. So he's not come out publicly, but he's actually come out on Instagram. Somebody put something, oh, you're away, but he's come out in laughy faces. But you can take that with us. But after his World Cup, if they go far, then I wouldn't mind them getting money, because we've just bought a player which I've saw a few times, and he's an able replacement.
Yeah, I'm going to need to spend the break trolling through Josip Juranovic's Instagram now to see if that happened. I would never doubt Kevin though. Thank you very much to Kevin in Bells Hill. You're still interested in that different level of internet that guy gets working in.
Yeah, we'll be phoning him back at
John when he's working in America.
John
works for an American company, so he gets different internet.
Yeah.
Listen to
that. Username and password on its way.
Why was that relevant to his point?
Well, I'm not sure, because he was saying that this is where he saw the links with the Egyptian player that Celtic are linked to. I mean, but I've seen them. I don't have special American internet. Look into it though. Right, thank you again to Kevin. He's in the hat for those tickets. Every caller who comes on air tonight and makes a point into the draw for a pair of tickets to that tribute night to the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row back in the late 90s. So come on, 01419511025. Rangers fans, where are you? Yes, I know the tickets might have to be donated to a family member or friend, but push that to one side for a second. What did you make of the AGM today? What did you make of the questions asked? What did you make of the answers given? Were there any big issues that you can't believe weren't addressed? What about this Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent contract business? Why not call us right now and let us know? We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. It's 01419511025. So get in touch and let the guys know what is on your mind tonight. Of course, you can. Are you all right over there? You know, take a look at this guy practicing his golf swing in the studio whilst I'm trying to have a serious conversation. This bit of the show is vital, because this is when we try and entice people to phone in. I'm giving the number, trying to make it sound exciting, and you're standing in the corner practicing your golf swing.
I was excited for it.
He's just loosening off.
Yeah,
he's feeling a bit stiff for our actions today earlier on.
But you two were out doing a bit of filming ever at a gym, lifting weights.
Worst ever, mate, honestly.
I've never seen him lifting weights. He always speaks about going to the gym, but he clearly doesn't
do much when he's there.
That much weights.
And we're not allowed to reveal who won. Will this all be revealed on the... Was it a challenge? Was it between challenges?
This video will be a terrific watch, let me tell you that right now.
Well, apparently it's not out till early next year. Producer Callum says it must be a feature length.
It's like a movie.
You should get it out before Christmas.
Is that where you are? Factory weights?
Yeah, out, go to number one.
But he's convinced that there's a VAR decision in one of them. Now, we've not seen anything, so
we'll let the audience
decide, I think, right? You two leave it there. 01419511025. It was Rangers AGM day. I've got a bit of a theory that Glasgow's the only footballing city in the world where people get really into the AGM, because our football's so obsessive, isn't it? And you care so much about every aspect of the club. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's a great thing, but it's always a chance for shareholders to go along, ask some questions. Some are good, some are not so good. And you always,
I like the bad ones.
Interesting to know what sort of answers the board members come up with. So let's go to Billy, who's a Rangers fan. What was it that jumped out for you today, Billy, from that AGM?
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for putting me through. The thing that put me through was obviously Alfredo and Kent. Mm-hmm. If Rangers have come out and said that they can't meet their demands, why just not let them go in January? If we can get money for them, then fair play. But Morelos, to me, this year especially, through injury and disciplinary and all the rest, and just his actual attitude towards Rangers, he doesn't want to be Rangers anymore. And Kent, you don't know what Kent you're going to get from game to game. So why not try and get some money for them? And actually, the Rangers board, if they get money for them, then we need to spend money this January. You know, the same as what Celtic have done over the other side of the city. Mm-hmm. We need to spend money. We don't need to rely on loan players or free players. We need to actually dip in and actually spend money. Give Michael Bain a chance. Bring players in that are interested in playing for Rangers. No, just, you know, for the sake of, I've got a loan spell here, we can make ourselves look good and then go back into our own teams.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, the bit that's jumping out for a lot of people was the comments about Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent. What I think's important is to sort of note the detail and how this came about. So at the Q&A part, a shareholder asked Ross Wilson, you know, essentially why Kent and Morelos have been allowed to run down their deals. And Ross Wilson says they've not been allowed. You know, two parties need to commit. Ryan and Alfredo are in different situations, but there is a willingness for the boys to stay with us from the club, so from the club side. In terms of why they didn't go in the summer, he said they rejected one offer for each player, but essentially said that they were too low. I think that was the championship winning season, sorry, that was in referring to. And then Douglas Park sort of interrupts, if that's the right word, I don't want to misrepresent, but Ross Wilson's answering the question, then Douglas Park just wants to add, and it's this comment that I think's got most people sort of, you know, interested, where he says, if the terms are unattainable, you've sometimes got to accept you've done your best. Mm. Are you like me and most other people in reading that, hearing that and saying, well,
they're not going to be in the building next year,
or they're asking for more money than Rangers are willing to provide? Is that what that means?
First of all, I think that Douglas Park was, as the chairman of Rangers, was correct to come out and tell the shareholders exactly that, Gordon, because we'll always have this situation, well, why are they not signing, they're running down their contract. It tells the supporters that Rangers are trying to sign these two players and keep them there at Rangers, right?
But to be fair, Ross Wilson said that bit in less, what would be the word, in less sort of obvious. Ross Wilson said that, you know, we're talking to the players, we want them to stay. That's fine. Can you leave it at that? You know, once you add that, why not? Once you add that next line, does it not tell everyone that the players want more money than you're willing to pay?
No, I think Douglas Park's basically put it out there in black and white. If to say, look, we as a club are trying, but financially, it will not make sense. Now, there's a gap here for me in negotiations. If that gap is, say, take it in a scale of 10, between 1 and 5, there's something you can work with the player, right? The player will come down, you'll go up a wee bit, and I think you can meet in the middle ground. If that gap's between 1 and 10, then the player ain't going to come down, you ain't going to go up that far. So I think then they've got to make a decision on the two players. How much money can we get in January? Because, let's be honest, they're 9 points behind the league. I don't think a lot of people out there, and I know Michael Beale's come in, everybody's talking about, you know, the manager's bounce and he'll get people going in different styles and different passings and, you know, attacking football. Totally agree with that. That's up to manager. But I don't think they're going to catch Celtic, right? I could be wrong, but I don't think that. So they've got to get as much money as they possibly can. If that gap's so big, And they'll know that with negotiations to get them out in January and get money in. No doubt in that. They can't leave that and let Morelos and Kent walk out the building for free.
Right, Mark, what do you read into that then, those comments today?
I probably agree with Daz in this one because, you know, as much as Ross Wilson was trying to say the thing that we always probably hear, we're trying our best and to make them go, Douglas Park's maybe just had enough of getting criticism flung at them for fans thinking they aren't doing enough. And he's putting it back in the players' court. So I'd be surprised if they didn't move at least one of them on in January. Michael Beale, I think, would be desperate to try and keep them and try and improve them and make them into the players that they were a couple of years ago. But the club have to look after themselves in terms of finances. I mean, Morelos, if you look at Morelos' wage probably from January to May, where or I'll probably run into June, where the club are paying him, might touch about £500,000, you know, in terms of wages. If that's a player who isn't contributing, like we've seen in the last game against St Mirren, jogging about, not pulling his weight, and you've got a guy like Colak banging it in for you, why would you not want to move that on and redistribute the wages or the money elsewhere to get players in who are maybe younger, hungrier, more progressive to your idea? So it didn't bode well, in my opinion, for Kent and Morelos, both of them staying past January.
Although, right, we keep, everyone keeps saying this, and Billy's done the same. Well, just move them on in January then. Just move them
how
on.
Do you?
It's just difficult, yeah. Some money from, just yeah. Do it. Just move them on. What if nobody buys them? What if nobody wants? What if nobody? And you know, what if the offer then becomes so low that you think, well, you're as well just keeping them anyway. They might score the goal that wins you a cup, and they might score the goal that wins you the league or whatever, and therefore they're worth more to stay than they are gone if the fee is so low. Like I say, I'm sure when Ross Wilson spoke about a bid each getting rejected, I think that was in the summer after Rangers won the league. I think that was the time frame he meant. Now, of course, with hindsight, you could say, well, it's easy to say now, well, that was a mistake, should have taken it, whatever it was. But you know, at the time, if you don't think it's enough and you think the player is going to be worth more to you, it's then over to the player and I guess his manager to then not let your performance level drop to such an extent.
It's got to be a judgment in what's went in the previous 6 months. I think that then comes to the manager. And now Michael Beale knows these players, he's dealt with them before. But I think Beale, Ross Wilson and whoever else, Douglas Park, will have to go to him and say, can you see signs that you can change this player and make him a worthwhile player at this club for the next 4 or 5 months of the season? Because if you think it's going to be too much of a stretch, then there's no point in keeping him on whatever he's on. What would he be on? 20 plus a week? Probably in terms of
Morelos. Probably high end of that.
I
think they both.
What's the point in keeping him? Move him on. But if Beale says, I think I can drag something out of him, then they wouldn't let him go for £1 million.
I think Rangers
have
every right, Mark. You're looking at two players just now that are on a good wage, and that's best of luck to the lads. Now, they're not sitting there looking at a new contract with reduced terms because they've not kicked a ball. None of the two. Morelos has been terrible. Kent has floated in and out of games, has not produced at all. So they ain't going to say, right, we'll go for a... They're wanting more money, a better contract. If you're Rangers and you're aboard of Rangers right now, are you going to push the boat out and hope that Michael Beale in the next month or two up to May gets a tune out of these guys? Absolutely not. And I totally agree with Douglas Barr. I think he was right coming out, clarifying it, because Rangers fans are fed up, and we hear it on this programme all the time about the board don't give us anything out, don't give us any information out. Well, there's Douglas Park turning around saying we want to keep them, but the financial gap's too big just now.
Thank you, Billy. 01419511025. What else is on your mind then, Rangers fans? AGM day, what about the answers given? What about the answers not given? Because sometimes that's just as interesting. Were there any issues that you wanted raised that weren't, you know, anything along those lines? What about William in Port Glasgow? Take it away, William.
Hi there, guys. Yeah, I've watched the AGM earlier on when the club posted it, and thought it overall was a massively, massively wasted opportunity. Some of the questions were embarrassing, and I put my head in my hands, and some of them, you know, things about COVID passports and where someone's going to park their car, which I thought was just a total waste of time. But one question that I thought was asked really well, and the supporter that was asking it, or the shareholder that was asking it, was really pushing Ross Wilson, Stuart Roberts on it, which I thought was fantastic, but it was probably the only tough question of the day, was asking the question about recruitment. The squad's been stale, it's not improved. In terms of the transfer business Ross Wilson's done, it's been terrible. He's had one success story in terms of a player that he's brought in and then sold on, Calvin Bassey. The squad's just not went forward over the last 3-4 years. Stuart Robertson sitting there with a straight face and actually claiming that the footballing departments came on leaps and bounds since Ross Wilson came in. It hasn't. A more recent example of that was in the Champions League game against Napoli at Ibrox, where 8 of the starting 11 were players signed by Mark Gallen, 7 of them signed by Steven Gerrard, the other one, James Tavernier, was signed in 2015. And Ross Wilson kind of given a bit of a condescending and didn't really like his attitude back to the supporter as well, thinking that he is doing a good job. And I don't know, I just think it was a massive missed opportunity. And for Ross Wilson, Stuart Robertson to actually sit there and think that a good job's been done in the footballing department, I think is laughable and, you know, treating the fans like mugs, really.
I think it was the some of the wording used, William, because I'm like, I kind of understand that they're not going to say, well, we've done a terrible job. They will believe they've done a good job. They'll want to stick up for it. They'll want to accentuate the positives. But I think you're right. The question that was asked, and that was the one where John Souter was referenced, wasn't it? You know, signing a player with the injury record and so on. Is that when Stuart Robertson sort of defended Ross Wilson and said it had been outstanding? I think he used that word, didn't he? And I've seen a lot of Rangers fans say, look, even if you are not as critical as others, even if you are sympathetic to the job, even if you think there's been some good and some bad, would you go as far to call it outstanding?
Definitely not outstanding. Far away from that completely, because the whole point of the football department moving on in terms of what he's overseeing, one of the main things he has to oversee, Ross Wilson, is a successful player trading model. The whole point of a successful player trading model, in my eyes anyway, other people might have different views on it, but for me a successful player trading model is at least one player every transfer window, or maybe one every two transfer windows. You've always got someone in the squad that's ready to go, that's ready to be sold for big money, that you've brought in for a nominal or decent enough fee, and you know you're going to sell him for £15-20 million. Like, you can see down the road, oh yeah, he's a great player, that signing's worked out, other clubs are going to come in for him, he's going to be sold and then reinvest that into the squad. And that's a continual cycle that keeps going. That's a successful player trading model. In the summer, Bassey and Aribo went brilliant, got a lot of money for those. It was reinvested somewhat into the squad, maybe not in the correct areas, particularly in midfield, but out with maybe, say, Glenn Kamara, for example, because he's the one that's got a couple of years left in his contract. He might command a decent fee, maybe not as high as it was maybe a year and a half ago when he was in top form. But after Glenn Kamara goes, who in that squad realistically can you look at and go, yeah, in 6 months, a year, 18 months' time, he's going to be sold for £15-20 million, and that's going to be reinvested in the squad for the next guy to then be sold for big money? I just don't see it. It's drying up already. The value of the squad has seriously dropped down. You guys were talking about Morelos and Kent as well a while ago. We should have sold them at peak value. In hindsight, we should have taken, I think it was £16 million we offered for Morelos a couple of years ago. A successful player trading model is about selling players at peak value and maximising the value out of it. We've not done that apart from Calvin Bassey and Joe Aribo in the summer. So he's not doing an outstanding job. He's doing, quite frankly, a terrible job in my view.
Well, like I said, there's a scale from outstanding to terrible, and maybe the truth's in the middle sometimes. But the recruitment seemed to be getting it in the neck a little bit today, Mark.
Yeah, and I think it's quite right. I think William makes a lot of good points here. I think he covers a lot of ground and going back and trying to assess where Rangers have been good, and no doubt Aribo and Bassey, and I know Parson wasn't part of their players that they brought through. He was already at the club as a young boy, but they still made money off him. But I don't think it has been good enough. And I think in these sorts of situations at AGMs, you need to be careful with the language that you use, not to be too kind of throw away with things like outstanding, because it offends the fans who are sitting in front of you. Quite clearly seen, it's not outstanding. These things are supposed to be about honesty and the fans communicating with the board and getting some answers, not to try and be duped into something they can clearly see isn't the case.
I think William's bang on the money. I've got to say, everything he said there, and I'm sure a lot of his fellow Rangers supporters would agree with him.
You were loving William's point. Yeah, I was
with William all the way there. I thought he just made brilliant points, and he's right, and I think a lot of Rangers supporters listening to the show tonight will be nodding their head in their greens, because the transfer windows under Ross Walshen haven't been great. Now, they're not disastrous, but they haven't been great. You flip it over to the other side of the city, everyone's come in, hit the ground running, making big impacts. And I think that's where William's looking at the same for his club. And I totally agree with him. You've got to have a model now, especially if you're Rangers, buying in at a good price and selling on at peak times. And Rangers have missed a boat in a couple. And I totally understand why they didn't sell it, because they could easily come back with the argument, well, we thought they were, we valued them more, that's fine. But good points from William tonight.
To be fair, Patterson, Bassey, Aribo is three over the last two windows. It's pretty good. But you would take William's point, okay, what about what comes next then? That's fine. But I think certainly a bit of credit where it's due for the sales over the last two. Maybe the incomings haven't been as successful. William, were there other, what other sort of burning issues did you want to hear the board address that didn't happen today?
A number of things, the court cases where we've been sued for £9.5 million. We've also been sued over the Sydney fiasco, things like that. I think, I don't think there's been a lot of transparency and sort of clear reasoning on that. We've just been told from the club, especially pulling out the Sydney tournament, there was a few contractual obligations that the organisers over there didn't meet. Well, what were those? Tell us. Why did we get into the situation with the elite group that we've gotten into? No one, out of all the questions that was asked, no one put those questions to the board, which I thought was strange. I thought it was a brilliant opportunity to put those kind of questions to the board, and really disappointed that the board weren't taken to task on issues like that.
You're a good man, William. Some good points well made. Was that you, by the way, that did you ask that question about the COVID passports?
Yeah, I had to say
get off your chest.
Yeah, just say something.
What was that? I'll tell you during the break. If you think I'm going to stand here and explain it, just get yourself on Twitter and you'll see it. Thank you to William. We'll take more of your calls next. So come on, 01419511025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. It's 01419511025, and it's Twitter at ClydeSSB. Keep your calls coming in, and we'll try and get through as many as we can between now and 8 o'clock. We've got a big game kicking off in 10 minutes between Portugal and Switzerland. And incredibly, Cristiano Ronaldo dropped from the Portugal starting 11 tonight. Speaking of insufferable egos, Gordon Diel, you presumably will just turn the TV the other way since you're not interested. Mark and I will just watch.
The only thing is, I'm quite interested in one reason.
All right, okay.
I've got Portugal in the lads sweep here.
So you do.
And I can't believe...
Who's come to Morocco, by the way? Listen, we'll deal with that later on. Is it true, though, it's nice to know that this show really cuts through... You know, that people remember your cutting edge football analysis. Is it true you were out and about and someone shouted at you that you hate the World Cup?
I was a nurse today in the hospital in the Queen Elizabeth. I couldn't believe it.
You alright?
Yeah, I'm fine. Well, she wasn't too concerned. She was only giving me a bit of lip about the World Cup in front of other members of staff. So
you in getting a bit of treatment? Everything okay?
Yeah.
Anything you want to share with me, Mark Wilson, and the listening nation?
Put it this way, if I'm not here on Thursday night, I hope you have a lovely show.
He's taking a bit of a sinister turn all of a sudden.
He's always at the hospital, this guy.
He's a hypochondriac.
I'm getting for a little op, obviously.
What are you getting done?
I don't want to tell you.
You'll
notice the difference when I come back out.
Cosmetic or
I'll be minus a little bit of tear in my cartilage.
Oh, that's not that exciting.
Goodness for that. When he said minus,
I knew something was getting snipped. I just didn't know it was your cartilage. Anyway, 01419511025. We've been talking about the AGM today. The thought. let's go back to the football. Talking about the AGM today, for Rangers fans, what does Paul and Hamilton make of it? Let's find out, Paul.
Hi there, panel. Thanks for having me on again.
Pleasure.
And by the way, listen, I don't have a special internet, just to let you know.
Thank goodness.
That was hilarious. I'm a Rangers fan, and I was quite impressed with AGM, to be honest with you, because a lot of Rangers fans have been screaming, where's the money gone? But you had to be realistic. These guys invested in Rangers on the way back over the last 10 years and give them soft loans and transfer some of the shares. and they were getting dogs abuse because of the Champions League with Gio. People saying, where's all the money gone? I think you've got to take your hat off to the board. I think we're on the right path. We've recruited, a great manager. And I just think we need to take a wee step back and be realistic.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of financial backing and helping the club run, certainly some of the numbers today, you couldn't doubt that. I think Rangers Deputy Chairman John Bennett spoke about revealing he's given the club a further £10 million overdraft facility. He outlined a £23 million commitment to the club. He was asked about loan repayments. In fact, I think that question came on behalf of Club 1872, the fan shareholder, who you will remember yesterday said that they would vote against the re-election of Douglas Park as chairman. But he offered an update of his own loan to the club, John Bennett, saying it's gone from around £13 million outstanding to £8 million over the past year and so on. Don't sort of get everyone bogged down in figures. So and that side, to be fair to the previous callers, I don't think they were criticising the financial help that certain board members have given the club. But fair enough if Paul wants to come on and pay tribute to that.
Aye, that's fair enough. I mean, Paul's read into that side. The other supporters who we've heard from or read from on Twitter have seemed to have dealt with a more black and white approach, what they see on the pitch compared to what was told to them today. And as always, going to come back to the big points of recruitment and your players, your saleable assets that you've got just now, because that is how the club, a well-functioning club, especially in Scotland, really runs. And I think that's why those before Paul concentrated on those issues rather than whatever loan that Rangers are able to get or whatever overdraft they're able to extend.
Paul, here's what I wonder overall. Do you think the temperature of the AGM was taken down after the appointment of Michael Beale? Right, do you think if this had been held a few weeks ago, there would have been much more anger, much more frustration? Do you feel like, although they are completely separate issues, do you think the managerial appointment has brought a bit more positivity to the place?
Yeah, without a doubt, Gordon, absolutely. Listen, I think this guy's a real deal. His record is fantastic. I'm hoping that he'll pull us through a bit. The league's over this season, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of record, he doesn't have much of a managerial record, but if Paul's referring to time coaching at the club and likes the job he's done, that's Paul's take on it. That perhaps is the reality of it, Gordon. Does Michael Beale's appointment change anything with regards recruitment? Does it change anything about loans or court cases or whatever? Probably not, but football fans will always be swayed to an extent by that sort of first team picture. And like I said, I feel like if this had been a couple of weeks ago, the atmosphere would have been through the roof. Yes, there was testing points for the board today. Yes, Ross Wilson got a bit of stick, but it wasn't quite the fireworks that it maybe would have been in the week after they had lost to St Mirren, for instance.
Yeah, as a board, as a member of boards, going to AGMs, Gordon, you need positives on your side, because you know that there's got to be a lot of negative questions out there. And Paul's quite happy with the fact that Michael Beale was a positive for them getting into that, because a lot of Rangers supporters now looking forward, they're delighted with the appointment. For me, Michael Beale's still to prove himself as a manager. I wouldn't get too carried away yet, but he's got a reputation, a terrific coach, he knows the club. But I think William, the caller before, who I was very impressed with, was talking about he felt it was a wasted opportunity. Rather than talk about that sort of stuff, you know, see, the finances of the club have been sued with the Sydney situation, obviously the other situation that's happening with Rangers. So I think there was one or two questions that Rangers supporters may have left today and thought, I wish someone would have stood up and asked that to get it answered, to get out of the way. But obviously a positive for the board was the introduction of saying, this is our new manager, you guys are bought into that, you really believe in this guy, hopefully we can go forward.
Thank you to Paul and Hamilton. Speaking of dodgy questions and dodgy answers,
beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's of course Beat the Pundit time. Come on then, let's see what you've got for us tonight. 01419511025. Oh, James Duffy got the business done on a tiebreaker last night.
Tiebreaker?
A 5-5 draw.
Good game.
What a game. What a game it was. Let's see what we can do tonight then. You have until 7 o'clock. You have to dial 0141 951 1025, and it could be you who tries to play Beat the Pundit next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here at 01419511025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB. And if you're interested, we've just kicked off in the latest round of 16 game at the World Cup, Portugal against Switzerland. No Ronaldo, he's on the bench, and with 3.5 minutes gone, it is goalless. We've been taking your calls on a number of topics so far. Before the news, we get stuck into Rangers AGM. What was asked, what wasn't asked, were you satisfied with the answers, and so on. We've had a bit about Celtic transfers before that. And don't forget, every caller who makes it on air tonight goes into the draw to win a pair of tickets for a tribute night to the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row in the late 90s. It's at the Armadillo in May. Special guests from across the team in that era. And all you need to do is get on air and make the point, and you go into the hat. So I know the way this works. Most, one half of the city, that sounds like the perfect night out. And the other half, you'll probably give the tickets to someone you know, but then you'll be very popular. So either way, pick up the phone, put your point across, go into the hat, and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what we've got tonight. What a game last night. A 10-goal thriller, 5-5 for Jim Duffy, and he eventually won it on a tiebreaker. Can John Paul do better for the listeners tonight? John Paul?
Evening, Gordon. Mark Gordon. I fancy taking on Chris Moyles tonight.
Oh, he's taking on Chris Moyles.
Oh, JP.
I'd forgotten about that. See, now that the jungle's finished, I just drop it. You know, I forget that it ever existed. I get very invested in it for
listeners
a couple of weeks
know.
And then you just go. So I forgot you had your lookalike.
I've got a few lookalikes.
Has that been successful for you off the back of I'm a Celebrity? A few more, a bit more hype, bit more publicity.
When you use
for
the
you.
Word successful, how are you using it?
Let's not.
People could book you for parties. Lookalike.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do, yeah.
Just go along with your jungle gear on and.
Yeah, I keep telling you, I've got a lot of Marty Kemp about me.
You don't, honestly. I don't mean to burst your bubble.
You don't want the nose.
I feel
and the rest
talking
of your
about
face.
Noses. You see the boy at the back of the studio here. He's hitting
what
my
have you got against producer Callum tonight?
He's put a hat on and his beak is about 6 foot.
Why does he have that hat on in here? He's making me.
He could sure smoking a cigar with that nose.
All he's going to now do is reuse every joke that he's ever had about his own. Enough. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be Mark Wilson. If it's tails, it will be Gordon DL taking on John Paul tonight. And it is tails.
Let me see.
There you go. Yeah. Chris Moyles.
All the best, JP.
All the best, Gordon.
Right, yeah, you bought that.
Let's give you some Clyde 2 to listen to so that you can't hear what's going on. Some Christmas music, I would imagine, at this time of year. We'll put 30 seconds on the clock, John Paul, and you can pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No bother at all.
Good man, your time starts now. Name any squad number Chris Boyd has had with Rangers.
9.
Which Celtic manager sold and subsequently re-bought Sean Maloney?
Mark Maneil.
Name a current Hearts player who's previously been the Scottish Championship's top scorer.
Pass.
Who played more league games for Rangers, Ryan Kent or Ryan Jack?
Ryan Kent.
The Premiership started in 2013. Name any side from that season who's no longer in the top flight.
Pass.
Name any English side that Chris Commons played for.
Oh, Barnsley.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon DL. Can you hear us?
I can now, Gordon.
What were you getting, Christmas tune?
I don't know what that was.
Of course he doesn't, honestly.
It was a bit too upbeat for me.
It wasn't a Christmas song, no?
No,
right,
no Christmas.
Right, 30 seconds, are you ready?
Yes.
Name any squad number that Chris Boyd had with Rangers.
9.
Which Celtic manager sold and subsequently rebought Sean Maloney?
Martin O'Neill.
Name a Hearts player, a current Hearts player, who's previously been the Scottish Championship's top scorer.
Shanklin.
Who has played more league games for Rangers, Ryan Kent or Ryan Jack?
Ryan Kent.
The Premiership started in 2013. Mm-hmm. Name any side from that season who are no longer in the top flight.
Ross County.
Right, name any English side that Chris Commons played for. Quick.
Played with Derby.
Okay. What do you think, John Paul?
I think he's just picked me.
Ross County. Did I say that for Hamilton Accies? I take my answer back.
Livy as well.
That's not right either.
Right, okay.
Livy are in it. None of you are right.
We'll
stop shouting out wrong answers.
He's another one,
no,
JP.
Because Livingston are in it.
You go first.
Livingston are in it.
Dundee United.
Dundee JP.
No, right, stop. Name any squad number Chris Boyd has had with Rangers. You had the choice of 27, 15, or 9, which you both got. You both thought that it was Matt Neal that sold and bought Sean Maloney.
Who was Strachan.
It? Gordon Strachan.
Okay, Matt, you played then.
Aye.
Was Matt Neal debut, or was that still too?
No, Neal gave him his debut.
Yeah, I thought that. Name any Hearts current Hearts player who's previously been the Scottish Championship's top scorer. You had the choice of Liam Boyce,
Shanklin,
or Lawrence Shanklin.
Yeah.
Dundee United and there.
Did you get that, JP?
No,
another one,
mate.
You're one behind.
Ryan Kent has played 21 more games than Ryan Jack. You both got that.
That's easy.
The Premiership started in 2013. Name any side from that season who are no longer in the top flight.
Dundee.
Well, stop it. It's Partick Thistle.
Inverness.
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 JP got Partick Thistle.
No! No! Oh, well done, JP.
I'm a level.
We won't be in a minute.
Here's the stat you never needed. Was the first ever game of the Premiership era not Partick Thistle against Dundee United at Firhill?
I was.
Because I think I was there. Were you playing in it?
No, I wasn't.
I think it was maybe the Friday night. And the first time I saw Andy Robertson playing for Dundee United. I'd seen him. Anyway, send you all to sleep. And it all comes down to the last question. Chris Commons, what English sides has he played for? You had the choice of Stoke or Nottingham Forest.
Let me Derby.
Or Derby.
Don't tell me he got that.
He didn't get
it. Yeah. Hold on a minute. Get in there. Remember that one, JP, a minute ago. See you, wee guy.
Hard lines, John Paul. He's pipped you 4-3. Well, good man.
Good game, JP.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Good, unlucky. I'm a roll. By the way,
good, because you were hopeless at getting the Bush Tucker trials in the jungle.
I'm
so
not
you're
really caring.
Got a few stars for the pundits tonight.
I'm flying the flag for me and this guy to my right here.
Did you lose last time?
Well, he's been losing all the time. You look at the record. I'll bet you I'm right up there.
No, I'll tell you what. There's a concerning winning streak for the pundits on the go at the moment. It's lasting quite a while.
That was a good game. That was head to head. That was good.
Ground it out.
I liked it.
Last minute winner, really.
Yeah.
You were like the Partick Thistle goalie at the weekend.
Just up for the winner. We JP was sitting at his couch thinking, I might go to a tiebreaker. Right, get Google on. I'll see you later.
We had a good debate on last night's show. Who is the true man of the weekend? Jamie Sneddon for scoring a 95th minute winner from goalkeeper, or Cammy Devlin for landing Messi's strip without playing?
My goodness.
Cammy Devlin's
it
incredible.
It made me sick seeing that.
Why?
Why?
What do you mean, why? This is a guy.
You know what happened?
Who's not put. No.
Why?
Why would I be?
What's the saying about shy kids?
Don't get any sweets, yeah.
That is the greatest sweet of all time. Messi's strip for his thousands appearance when he scores, and he gives it to a guy who's not played 1 minute. In the World Cup.
But he's a part of the World Cup, Mark.
Oh, shut up.
Listen, feel happy for him. See, if that was me, that would be an eBay before I'm even touching down at Glasgow.
How's he even managed that?
You've got to be clever. You've got to be clever. You stole that away. Pension.
Right.
Pension time.
Did we even get a backstory of how he managed it?
He genuinely just said, there was only a couple of quotes appeared. Once he's back, I'm sure he'll speak to the Scottish press at length about it. Genuinely just realised that no one else had asked, so he just thought he would ask.
That's ridiculous. I mean, talk about winning the lottery.
Why not?
Correct. And do you know, I honestly can understand why nobody would ask, because obviously you're
intimidated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Happened to me a lot.
It's the fact that he gave him his Messi his shirt as well.
He's got Devlin. He's away.
Well,
back.
Hold on. I gave my shirt to Danny Alves and he handed it back.
He's got Devlin in his hotel room now.
Funnily enough, I did a Q&A with, it was such a weird duo, right? Cammy Devlin and Colin Henry. Don't ask what brought those two together, right? But a couple of months back, and poor Cammy felt it was, the questions were all like, who's the hardest player you've played against? So Colin Hendry was going R9 Ronaldo, and then Cammy Devlin was saying Joe Aribo. No disrespect to Joe Aribo, who's a perfect he's a perfectly good player, but he's, come on, like, levels.
McCulloch in training.
And, but do you know what, you live a wee story now. You can,
that's a good
that
story,
the bag in future.
Ah, well done, lad. He had bravery to go and ask.
Glad
him.
You went bravery.
Yeah, I was thinking there, bravery to go and ask, and a reward for him. Brilliant. He'll treasure that.
Oh, absolutely. Portugal 0, Switzerland 0, 13 gone. No Cristiano Ronaldo, Mark Wilson.
By the way, what about the amount of photographers round him? It just goes to show you the press that this guy demands. His team are singing the national anthem, and he must have about 40 photographers all in front of him on the bench. But I wonder, I just wonder if it'll make Portugal better, lift the pressure off them. I don't think he's been eye catching this World Cup, but these games last a long time with extra time. It might just be the match winner.
Nah, one of the best players in the world. It doesn't make you better, Mark. I know that sometimes you think, oh, he's a hard work, but he's proved it time and time again. And I'm on Ronaldo.
You're in Portugal in the sweepstake, though, of course.
Yeah, and I want my best players out there. So the manager,
is he still the best player for Portugal?
No.
Still.
I think he's most important.
But you know, he don't even watch the World Cup. Why are we even asking this guy?
He's not got a club.
What
he's
I will
unemployed.
Say,
he's just going to pick up 200 odd million on his next contract.
Can we please go where others won't, and let's not even pretend there's a debate about this. Some of the nonsense I've seen throughout the day, can we all agree there is nothing wrong with Brazil dancing when they go and score a goal? Are we all in favour of that?
Yes, I'm 100%.
I like
Roy
it. Thank
got that
you.
One.
I like
what's
it,
happening
yeah.
to the world?
Roy's,
yeah, that's
honestly, Roy's a bit grumpy.
That's
that one.
Our makeup.
Why does everything need to get turned into a stupid
no,
debate?
I loved,
about
I loved,
right and wrong.
I love the manager taking part in that. I mean, what age is he? He must be pushing 70, and he's still giving it the old pigeon dance. But the whole thing, oh, it's disrespectful.
That's the point
after.
Of the World
what?
Cup. You want to see Brazil bringing a bit of their cultural flair to proceedings? Do you not?
Must admit, I think South Korea helped him with that.
Well,
with
I was going to say
4v4 at the back.
I don't know about the defensive coordination.
They obviously
liked
the new dance.
They couldn't get enough of it in the first half.
Terrible.
By the way, seeing that, sees the game wore on and you took South Korea's chances, they could have scored three or four themselves.
Took their foot off the gas, didn't they?
Silver. Carefree by that Brazil favourites, and I've got them in the sweep.
No, I don't know.
I am the favourite.
I think England are looking good. I'm telling you, Kane's banged one in, give him the confidence. They've got good pace, they've got good subs coming on.
Sounds like you know a lot
for
about
a guy
something that you don't watch
it,
the World Cup.
Well, I know
that.
The players, I don't really, I couldn't tell you a lot about.
You just said the subs coming on and he's right, Harry Kane's banged one in.
Well, he did score, didn't he?
So how do you know about the subs coming on?
Because I know what's on their bench, Grealish and people like that. So...
Just admit you're a big closet England fan, right? Don't judge you.
I'm going to tell you now, I'd be very happy for England to win the World Cup. I like England. I've got a lot of ties with Mute England. Him. I played down there. I've got a lot of still good friends at the city. So, yeah, I would like England to go and lift the World Cup.
Right, let's...
Get playing tomorrow.
Let's bring in Andy, who's on the line. Hi, Andy, what's your point tonight?
I've also got a team for Gordon, but that's it done. Listen, I've got a couple of points, if that's okay. The first one really is just about, you guys know I always phone up when there's a competition and I just talk nonsense, so I got in that draw. So if I keep going on, just cut me off at any point. Right? my first point is, I think it's really quite refreshing, and I'm looking at Celtic's transfer policy. And I'm looking at potentially the next couple of transfer windows, when obviously they've opened up doors within Asia, Eastern Europe and places like that, and obviously North America now as well. But see the fact that four of the players from the Celtic squad went along and got to the last 32, and one in the last 16, obviously. See when negotiations are happening with younger players who've got a bit of talent and potentially got a couple of clubs that they've got options of, do you think that gives Celtic a good selling option to say, look, your players are coming in here, we know it's a stepping stone, but while they're on that stem stone, they're still getting to the World Cup. I think it's a really good thing for the club.
Of course it is. I think when they're continually play at that high level in the latter stages of tournaments, yeah, of course, because it's not as if they're just going out and buying anybody, you know, that are projects. Well, some of them are projects, of course, but they've shown that they can mix at the top level. Now, when they get the opportunity to play in the Champions League, that's the big thing. That's how they get the recognition then to represent their national team continuously as well. If Juranovic and maybe came to Celtic and Celtic weren't playing at the top level, you just would you wonder if someone would be selected ahead? It could be possible.
I mean, he was on clearly the Croatian radar before he came. But yeah. do you think this season in the Champions League sort of, even though Celtic didn't have a brilliant time of it, it still gives you a foothold at that level?
I always think it is. I mean, even a year before that, playing in the Europa League, he's still playing at a great level at club football. And managers, you know, these national managers look at that. They bring the best players together, and then they're used to playing at the level when they get to the tournament. And I think it's great. Now it's worked out great for Celtic and Juranovic in this instance, because if they're selling them, would they buy for 2.5 million something round about that? Now they're going to get a whole lot more for them. And the further they go in this competition, that price, you can just keep adding zeros onto that.
Is it just a bonus, Gordon? I mean, I've heard obviously clubs bringing players to the table, and then they would say, okay, look at what if you're Celtic, look at what Kieran Tierney's done. We can or Moussa Dembele or whoever, we can be your step to that next level. Rangers might try and do it now with Nathan Patterson or Calvin Bassey or whatever. And would they use the sort of international thing as an incentive as well, or a talking point, a selling point?
Oh yeah, 100%, because your stock rises. Of course it does. If you're playing international football, if you're playing in the biggest tournament in the world, the World Cup, if you're progressing, which Croatia has, listen, I'll certainly not do you any harm. And the one thing Juranovic has got on his side is he's a very talented fullback, and he's a number one choice as well. So it has been a real good bit of business, whether they keep him or they sell him. And if they're going to sell him, they're certainly going to make profit.
What was your other point, Andy?
I don't usually like speaking about Rangers, but I'm a big fan of the show, particularly the Thursday night. I'm just, you know, I really enjoy listening to the guys. However, I've been listening to the last week or so, and I'm actually getting a wee bit frustrated with just about every person who comments, most of them, particularly the callers, but the experts, if you like. And the consensus is that Rangers can only get better. And I just don't understand where that sentiment can come from. There's no evidence for it. In fact, I would go as far as to say that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst wasn't really that bad a manager. I looked there and it looks like his win rate was like 61% win rate. Steven Gerrard was 63%. I think Beal, I don't think I looked at it, Beal was like 40% when he was at QPR. When you look at Van Bronckhorst's record, that 61% win ratio included six games in the Champions League and are in the European final. So, I mean, I think in terms of domestic, it was only St Johnstone that beat him out with Celtic. So I think for everybody, the pundits and stuff, to get so excited about this guy coming in and saying that it can only get better. And I remember when Celtic stroke 10 in a row, a fantastic day I was there, and hopefully I can get tickets to see that. but what I was going to say was, after that, when Wim Jansen left, we brought in Dr. Joe, it didn't work. We brought in Wim Jansen, didn't work. Kendall Gleish was there for a while. It was there until we brought in an established manager in Martin O'Neill that we were able to look forward. And I do believe that Rangers might be in for a shock. I don't know. I obviously don't know, but I'd be very surprised if Michael Beal is even as successful as Van Bronckhorst.
Well, time will tell. Of course, it depends what they're up against as well. You know, if Celtic continue on the trajectory that they're on just now under Postecoglou, well, it's going to be hard to close the gap. If Celtic stutter or stop their progression, then I believe Beal can get them better. Now, I know he's not got a proven track record as a manager, but I believe the style and the pace that Rangers were playing at wasn't anywhere near good enough to keep up with Celtic in this league, and that's why the change was made. But if Celtic keep going the way they are, then it's going to be hard to close the gap. Never mind who you get in to the job. You know, you sign better players, maybe that can help you. But Celtic are by far the best team in the country, the strongest team in the country in terms of positional and squad. And maybe Rangers getting a few players back for injury might help them, but they're a long way to go.
Do you think
catch Celtic.
Rangers can only get better?
No, I've sat on the fence with Michael Beal for day one. I think there's positives. I.e. he's been at the club, knows the players, everybody talks about his coaching ability. Negatives is, at this moment in time, I think Rangers would probably need a strong leader, a manager. There's more to being a manager of Rangers than just coaching. So I'm on the fence.
Yeah, but is there not more, just overall though, is there not more to it than just the manager? Because at some point, and I know that I'm not saying this is the only reason that they've fallen behind Celtic, of course not, but at some point in the relative short term, Conor Goldson will return, mm-hmm. and Tom Lawrence will return, and Yilmaz will return, or whatever, you know, whatever players are out. So surely that is a sort of natural upturn.
I think your point of decent players and important players to Rangers returning to the squad will enhance their chances of being better. They've got a good squad, Rangers. Let's not be kiddied here. They've got a good squad. Van Bronckhorst, I think the Rangers fans had switched off with the style of play first and foremost. I think Beale will change that, but he's coming in as an untried, really, as a manager. He's not had a lot of games as a manager, and it's completely different. Yes, he will love the hands-on Monday to Friday on the training ground if the game's on a Saturday. But when you become the manager and he puts the suit on that he's got to do and stand the touchline, and every decision is yours and the most important one, that's when he learns his trade for me. And it'll be interesting to see how he does. But the Rangers fans have got great hope that he'll do well at Rangers.
Thanks, Andy. We'll need to leave it there because we're late. But don't worry, you're in the hat for the tickets, okay?
Cheers, mate.
Good man. That was Andy on the phone lines. Before we go any further, and you can help me out on this one tonight, Mark Wilson.
The Kids Mission Christmas. J&D Pierce, structural steelwork specialists, proud to support the local community.
What a prize we've got for you, and it's going to make a big difference to local children in Glasgow and the West at the same time. So what is not to like? Thanks to the good folks at Arnold Clark, we've got a brand new car to be won, and it's a 72 plate Mercedes A-Class, no less, a 180 AMG line premium hatchback. And Mark Wilson, you and I went to see it yesterday. Oh. We sat in it, we checked out all the features, we even drove it briefly. It is magnificent.
Beautiful, top of the range. 64 ambient colours in there. Is that right?
64 ambient light settings. It's got like dynamic select, Gordon DL. If you want sport mode, comfort mode, it's all there. I had the wrong radio station when we got in it, by the way. That's something we need to fix for next time. We learned everything there is to know about this car.
Parks itself. How about that? You ever seen
that? You're parking horrendous.
Yeah. So you're allowed to just get out, go to the shop.
No, I mean, you need to sit in it, but
hope you don't win this.
But you can sit back and park assist.
What level in this car park store check that go to?
But seriously, it's
a prize.
It's top drawer, isn't
amazing.
It?
Amazing.
It's an incredible car and an incredible chance to win, because all you need to do is text CAR, C-A-R, to 84901. You donate £5 to Cash for Kids. Every penny goes to children on our doorstep who need it the most. And you might have a brand new Merc to show for it. It is the ultimate win-win. So the texts do cost one standard network rate message plus that £5 donation. Entries close 6 p.m. Saturday, the 17th of December. But my goodness, do not run the risk of being too late for this. You might as well get your entry in now. Over 18s only, full T's and C's at Clyde1.com. So to recap, a brand new 72 plate Mercedes A-Class. It is a fantastic car, and you can win it by texting CAR to 84901. Good luck.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, both here. We're about to take more calls as well. Let me give you tonight's teaser. The Crazy Pony has sent this in, and it is difficult. Please do your best to listen to the question. I've only got one or two reads in me. I'm not going to keep going all night. Speaking of which, though,
okay,
I think we should do a quiz on Thursday night.
No,
of the quizzes.
No, no, this Thursday.
I thought we were going to do one earlier.
See the amount of people that tell me that lockdown quizzes made their lockdown bearable. And obviously we don't want to do it too often. We don't want to kick the backside out of it. But it's the World Cup break. Look, we've had a busy few weeks talking about Rangers. This week will be a bit quieter. Surely one hour, right? We'll take calls 6 to 7. We'll do the quiz 7 to 8. 1 hour on Thursday. Is that too much to ask?
He just likes the quiz.
Bin the calls, do it for 2 hours.
It's just because it's all about him.
We could just do it for 2 hours, couldn't
we? No, the quiz.
No, I'm not very good.
We'll just do one on Thursday, though. No. We'll get it in the diary. No. Come on, right. Agree, producer Callum? Yes, thumbs up. Good. Right, we'll get that sorted. Make sure to get your team name ready. Right, listen to this for tonight. Alistair Johnson is the first Canadian international in the modern era to sign for Celtic. Name the previous 10 players who were the first players capped by their country to play for Celtic. right?
I cannot believe you.
What?
I'm writing down the Scotland team.
Oh, that was Morocco. A different question. That was a different question. Forget that. I was just talking to myself during the break. That was a different question. Alistair Johnson became the first Canadian international in the modern era to sign for Celtic. Can you name the previous 10 players who were the first player capped by their country, any country, to play for Celtic? So they must have been capped before signing. You're looking at me confused. And it is tough, right?
I've not got a clue.
I think once you start getting the answers,
give us one.
So just start thinking about random Celtic. It's the last 10. So start thinking about random Celtic players from sort of random countries that have played recently, and think, were they the first player from that country to be signed? And you'll get them. I know it sounds
Bolo
hard.
Bolo Baldi.
No, go Wanyama. Even more recently than
oh,
that.
Oh, recently, right, yeah. Okay. Wanyama, one. No, yeah. No.
Hadžibanović.
Exactly.
There we
so
go.
He is the first Montenegrin international, yeah, to sign for Celtic. So I look, I know that question sounds hard, but see, once you start getting them.
Oh, Bernabe.
Not capped though.
Oh, I was so, you know, close.
And they have to have been capped before they got here.
Who did Laxalt play for?
Yes.
That was my next one.
There we are.
We're
the most
the
famous
team.
Braids in Scottish football history.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are. So Uruguay, we've got Hadžibanović was the first Montenegrin international to sign for Celtic. Laxalt was the first Uruguayan. So along those lines.
Oh, right. I've got it now.
Samaras?
No.
Who was the other Greek?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Or he's not in the last 10.
Right.
Quite
okay,
simply. It
right.
might be something like that. And he might not have been capped before he arrived, but he probably was.
Yeah.
Any more?
Any more? Come on, da.
Goalie in there, Naz.
You love a goalie, don't you?
No, not tonight.
No, no.
Not don't like your silence. Incidentally, Portugal have gone 2-0 up against Switzerland. Pepe has scored. 39 years of age, Mark Wilson.
Yeah.
He is how many years older than you?
One. Yeah, 1 year older, and he's still scoring in the World Cup.
World Cup. 2-0.
Aye, they'll let you know. What about Key?
No.
Chaduri?
No.
You love a Chaduri.
Again, probably just not in the last 10. They're all more recent than that.
You can't.
Really? Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Tom Rogic, but it's not.
No. No. No, 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 no. Okay, I'll give you more thinking time. Let's bring in Imogen, who is a Celtic fan from Helensburgh. What's your point tonight, Imogen?
I'd just like your guys' professional opinion on this question here. Would you say Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not?
Wow!
Please don't ask me if
I mean,
I'm answering.
We've been
that
asked
one.
Him. Answer Imogen, come on. I always say you can ask.
Is Die
you
Hard
want.
A Christmas movie?
Absolutely
yes.
not.
Yeah, that's a Christmas movie.
No, it's
movie.
Not. No, it's not.
Hold on a minute. He has a Christmas party. He's got a Christmas party.
It doesn't matter.
John McClane.
You're a party, that's a Christmas movie. It's not. Let me clarify. It's not a Christmas movie.
How is it not a Christmas movie?
It's not.
It came out at Christmas.
So what's the criteria?
What, right, okay.
Well,
any
Christmas
mention
party
of Christmas for you then?
And is, yeah. He's going, yeah,
he has a Christmas jumper in his drawer. Christmas movie.
So you're not having it?
Nah, I don't think so, no. Action like Bruce Willis Christmas movie.
The Santa hats and that in it, is there
not? No.
It is.
This is one of these debates, right? You know the ones like the people are, it's demanded of you that you pick a side.
Yeah.
Sorry, Imogen, I don't care. I don't feel that strongly about it.
What's Imogen thinking? Are you
I just feel
for
like,
or against?
Imogen, yeah, what's your professional opinion? Because these two are clueless.
Yeah, I would say it's a Christmas movie.
Yes.
Because there's like Christmas trees and that in the background, so.
See, I've got a very loose criteria. I still, a bit like you, I think it needs to feel a bit festive.
There's nothing about it as festive.
When John McClane's running about the towers with a machine gun, what's not Christmassy
yeah,
about
exactly.
that?
Does he get a Santa hat
drop
on?
Your presents.
Imogen makes a good point there. If there's Christmas tunes in it and there was in the background,
yeah, no,
that makes it
that.
Christmas. Mm. Well done, Imogen. Case closed.
Imogen, how old are you? You sound very young.
12.
But you've seen Die Hard.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
My dad's a big fan.
Well, does he think it's a Christmas film?
I think so, yeah.
It's a split in here. You're not having it at all.
Nah, I'm not really into that sort of. I wouldn't sit down with my my jammies on and go, right, I'll watch a Christmas film. Oh, I know what I'll watch. Die
Get
Hard.
Me right in the mood. Die,
I thought he'd be the opposite. He would sit in his vest like Bruce Willis.
I thought you were going to say like Rab C. Nisbet.
That's more like
the hanky in the head. Nah, it's not for me. And I think
more Die Hard 2. That's also Christmas.
Right, what has happened to your Imogen? Nonsense. Thank you for your call. You're in the hat for the tickets, by the way. And I don't think we've got any further on this.
It's the best one of the night.
The great debate. Let's bring in Paul. Paul, if you ask about any Christmas film, you're getting cut straight off. What's your point tonight?
My point was Joseph Uranus.
Good, that's more like it. By the way, they're not experts on this either, but go for it.
I'm just curious. There's a lot obviously been said that he's, I don't know if he's looking for a move or Postecoglou's just went short of him for the money, but I don't even know if there's any figures put in or anything else. Don't know much about it. There's not much been said.
Yeah, that is kind of true, Mark. Everyone's like assumes he leaves, and there's always been speculation and interest and paper talk. In terms of concrete, Ange Postecoglou, it's just not his style. We're not speaking to him a lot just now anyway, but even if we were, it's not his style to be completely drawn on it. But I mean, what do you mean, Paul, then? Do you still think that maybe is there a bit of doubt? You think it's not set in stone that he'll leave, or do you just think it's all been kept a bit under wraps?
I think it's going to be under wraps. I don't know. Kind of smoke mirrors type of thing. I'm saying, no, we're bringing all this Alistair Johnston in and whatever other players have got in. They brought that, I don't know if it's Chinese or Japanese boy. And Juranovic just seems to surface to the top again and says he's basically going out the door.
Yeah, Ange Postecoglou, it's the Japanese market he's gone into again. It's been very popular for him in his time at the club. Mark, the thing that does change the Juranovic situation from the question of is it complete speculation, the thing that elevates it out of that is the signing of Alistair Johnson.
I think
Jackie
so.
Giakoumakis can stay there. He can stay in his little pool of uncertainty.
Yeah.
But it's different, isn't it?
Well, as when that signing came in, I think everybody just kind of, you know, joined the dots and thought, well, it must be the case. I think if Ralston had been performing poorer than he is, and he was really struggling when he came in, you could then maybe make an argument that Ange Postecoglou just wants to add a bit more strength to that area. But when Juranovic hasn't been in the team, Ralston's been every bit as effective. So there's no need to have three right backs, who two of which are international standard, who've played in the World Cup, and the other's a very good backup for them.
There might no go need to the next World Cup when Scotland qualify.
Well, here's hoping, fingers crossed. So I mean, when the agent starts making noise in the summer about Juranovic, I'm sure we heard clubs like Man United and things getting bandied about, but where Juranovic will go to that level, I don't know. But I think there's certainly a decent move that will bring big money. We've seen in the past that doesn't take a player to go to the English Premier League to demand big money. Frimpong, for instance, how many games did he play for Celtic? And he went, was it 11, 12 million pounds he got for the club?
Looks like he's about to kick on again, perhaps, as well.
If there's anything like that for Juranovic, what an outstanding piece of business for a couple of years, 2.5 million to plus 10 for a defender. Great business.
Yeah. I said earlier that the manager is getting backed all the way, but he's got to be fair with the board and try and balance the books a little bit. Mark's right. If you've got a hot bit of property that people are interested in, prepared to pay you over the odds, maybe. You got him at a decent price. You brought in a replacement. You've got Ralston, as Mark highlighted there, playing well at the right back position. Then I think it makes good business. I think Juranovic is a terrific player, but if you're getting the money and everything's right and all the boxes are ticked, I think it's good business for Celtic.
Cheers, Paul. Paul goes into the hat for the tickets as well. How are you two faring on this teaser? We're looking for the last 10 play after Alistair Johnson became the first Canadian international to sign for Celtic. Can you name the previous 10 players who were the first players capped by their country to play for Celtic? Sounds confusing, but see when you hear some of the answers. So Hak Šabanović is the first international from Montenegro. Diego Laxalt was the first from Uruguay. So we're just think of recent Celtic players from random countries.
Oh,
that's all
good
you need
shout
to know.
Yeah, Honduras is Aguirre.
Nah, he's not in the last 10 though.
I'm not sure. I was going to say Zheng Zi, but that's obviously not in the last 10.
I told you they're all much more recent than that.
Right.
That was the lad that scored in the World Cup, centre forward, Timothy Weah.
Timothy Weah, well done.
Yes,
he was the first American international to sign for Celtic.
Was it really?
Yeah. Did you not know that?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was going to say I played with an American guy, but he didn't have a cap. That's right.
Okay. Any more?
Nope.
I'm just going round the globe
right.
just now.
Oh, that'll be good for you. A man with your outstanding geographical know-how. In Columbus.
Give me a while to get back to you.
We'll get the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dyell are here. It's still Portugal 2, Switzerland 0 at the World Cup. And you can still get in touch on the phones or on Twitter. Now, if you want to submit a teaser question and try and catch the guys out, it's just a bit of fun. We do it at the end of the show. You can send the question in to fulltime@clyde1.com. The Crazy Pony did it tonight. Alistair Johnson became the first Canadian international in the modern era to sign for Celtic last week. Can you name the last 10 players who arrived at the club as the first player capped by their country to play for Celtic? I know that's a bit wordy, I know it sounds tough, but I'll give you some of these answers and it will all make sense. Sead Haksabanovic is the first Montenegrin international to play for Celtic, right? So he's clearly in the last 10 because he's at the club at the moment. Diego Laxalt was the first Uruguayan international to play for Celtic. Timothy Weah, same for the USA. Any more during the break?
There's a right back in there and I can't remember his name.
Brilliant, great input.
Yeah, yeah. Wicasso, right?
I feel like Wicasso is the answer to every teaser.
Malumbu.
Well done.
Yeah.
Can you tell me where Malumbu was capped? What country?
And his country.
You're right, anyway, by the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Congo.
Played against Celtic this year. Sved, Ukraine.
I think he was the first Ukrainian.
Well, I can't think of any others.
He was the first. Well done.
Right. And
that's six.
Another one, fullback, you're on about, is it Gamboa?
The first Costa Rican international. Well yeah. done. You're not as daft as you look.
I think there's another one there to be found.
El Kaduri? No.
Oh, nah, that's it.
No. Too far back.
That was a good guess. Where was he from again?
Oh, no idea.
Is he Morocco, no?
I think
it
was Morocco.
There's an Austrian in there. The lad.
What makes you think there's an Austrian?
Because I know there's an Austrian in there.
To be fair, you're actually right. I don't know how you could know that, but you are.
Morris Bauer or something? Am I correct in that?
Morris Bauer. Most famous.
Is he Austrian?
Yeah.
And remember he got smashed by Jordan Jones and Steven Gerrard was raging at him.
Am I right with that?
Yeah.
Is he right with that?
How's he done that? Where has he produced that?
Gordon Dyell.
I kept telling there was a right back in my.
Magnificent.
And you know I'm not anywhere near my phone, so I can't look at that.
It's amazing just, as well, because you were just telling me you thought Tom Rogic was capped by Austria.
No. You have to get through.
Absolutely amazing.
You've got to get the list narrowed down. Do you know you don't get any credit at all?
That's a brilliant answer.
That's outstanding. How many more have you got to go?
Two, I think.
Anyway, half time, Portugal 2, Switzerland 0. Can we all agree Portugal are better without Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah. Ronaldo era is over. Portugal are much better. Why? You think he's still got?
I think he's still a part to play, Mark. Yeah, you don't have his ability, but they've certainly played well tonight. In the first half, 2-0, should see them through and keeps my hopes alive in the sweep.
Who do you play then? Morocco. Next, if they're through,
I'm going to consult the wall chart.
Oh, have we got a wall chart?
Yeah, we do. I think you're right. I mean, it's not been updated since like November, but nevertheless,
no names
it is
on
Morocco.
It.
It is indeed.
Oh, you might see your man then, and that's surely a place in the semi-finals for Ronaldo.
I thought Morocco battled brilliantly today. Underdogs against Spain that everybody had.
How bad are the penalties, though? Right? I don't have the statistical know-how here, so it can't be that difficult. Someone do my homework for me. What's the penalty success rate like at this World Cup? I want shootouts included. And how does that compare to World Cups? Because it just feels like there's a lot being missed, no?
Yeah, and the technique has now changed. The stutter or the casual kind of walk up and look at the goalkeeper doesn't seem to be working for most. Saying that Neymar was all right with it last night.
You would think it'd be a little bit more easier, a bit more advantage for a penalty kick taker, because the goalkeeper really has got to stay on that line. In the olden days, he could have flying out and made the angles a lot narrower.
That's the thing, it just feels like they're bad penalties. To be fair, I think Messi's against Poland was a decent enough penalty, and that was a very good save.
Yeah.
But it feels like, so Spain missed all three today. All right.
Yeah.
In the shootout, they lost 3-0.
Japan was terrible.
Three as well.
Three, I think.
Yesterday.
Yep.
They were rubbish penalties. Yeah. I mean, one of Spain's hit the post today, but the other two were rotten.
Not a good standard, is it?
And then we've even had ones that have been retaken, luckily. Lewandowski's was hopeless, oh, but he got to retake it, so that won't count on the
record.
Got to say,
the one that won it tonight for Morocco is...
Oh, he's dinked it.
I know the pressure's off a wee bit, but he's dinked it down the middle, which is quite good.
How's your composure?
You will never have the ability...
Never in a million years.
I
wouldn't have tried that, no. Especially when my country was relying on me.
You're more an instinctive player. Curly toe wouldn't have served you well.
Side foot to the goalkeeper's left, always. My success rate was brilliant.
Just open up the body.
Just open up the body.
Like a young Thierry Henry. Goalkeeper.
Yeah. Pack that out.
Two people you've literally never heard mentioned in the same sentence.
Let's get that trending on Twitter. So Thierry Henry stumbles across it. Who is this Gordon Dale I'm being mentioned
by
alongside?
I feel like we're nearly there, right? There's a bit to go. In 9 days' time, you two will be in here. It'll be the Clyde One Christmas party, and we'll be missing it, by the way, for what it's worth. Uh-huh. But Rangers Hibs, 9 days, the Scottish Premiership returns. I think we've done well to get to this stage.
Yeah.
Relatively unscathed.
I've got to say, I know that's highlighted, I don't like the World Cup. I think it's been poor. I'm looking forward to a return of